Would you rather die by regular fire or dragon fire?
Did Allison really not know what she was doing when she said to Laris, "Will no one stand with me?"
Do all the best thing in Game of Thrones television universe happen.
Slow down and say that so it makes sense. You're stumbling over the words and you wrote this.
Do all the best things in the Game of Thrones television universe happen in Castle Windows?
We'll answer all those questions and more on this episode of
The Joffrey Podcast.
I've been very busy. Many important matters require King's attention.
I'm King now. King now.
I am King.
Kiss it again.
Your fingers or your
king.
Doesn't
fingers
discuss your battle plan.
He's one,
but
girls.
Your fingers or your tongue.
I am the king.
I'm telling mother.
My name's Bubba, and with me, as always, is
Catfish.
Catfish, we're going to be breaking down season one, episode six, The Princess and the Queen. Woo. We jumped about 10 years forward. What is your rating for the episode out of 10?
Well, Bubba, I was going to go with the standard old triple P rating.
Triple P?
Yeah, Princess's postnatal procession.
Whoa.
But I figured that was too boring, so I had to go with a double S rating.
Double S?
Yeah, Seared Strongs. So I am going to give this episode what I like to call 8 out of 10 Seared Strongs.
Whoa. 8 out of 10 is pretty strong. I was worried you were going to have a trouble with the big time jump. Why 8 out of 10?
First of all, Bubba.
Yeah.
About 2 minutes into this episode, maybe four, I was ready to give this 10 out of 10 episode, a 10 out of 10. Why? Joffrey lives. Heck yes. We were so sad last week. It's like we had a Joffrey on the show. He's gone. Joffrey lives. And hey, by my calculations, only about 6 people need to die for Joffrey to take over the throne. I am crossing my fingers for this one, Bubba. The funny thing is, I was down on this because of the time jumps. I haven't been excited about the time jumps. Daemon's been chilling out for 10 years, and now the death of his wife is going to get him to move on. Not believable.
Yeah, a woman's death inspires a male character. Get ready for those think pieces.
Here we go. But what happened in this episode was a lot of what you and I have been asking for, Bubba. We had real conversations where we knew what was happening. People had real talk. It was behind the scenes, what's going on. We had it between Laenor and Rhaenyra a couple times. Mm-hmm. Alicent and Aegon, despite the fact that she conveniently ignored what he was doing outside that castle window. We had
what were you doing outside the castle window?
Amazing. And then we had Laris and Alicent. So we had some real talk. We had another, you know, any character whose name that starts with an L, untrustworthy in the Game of Thrones series. Laris is really starting to pull the weight for the bad guys on this show.
Okay.
And so I did enjoy it, and, you know, they had to do, for me, a lot of hand-waving to be like, well, we're essentially status quo except for the number of children who have been born in the interim. I enjoyed a lot of the conversations, the real talk.
I'm really torn.
Okay.
I like that it moved. I like that they just said, catch up. We're going to throw a lot of things, a lot of new characters at you.
Mm-hmm.
Catch up. I loved that. And then there were parts where, because I felt like the character work hadn't been built on some of the previous episodes, it was like, Harwin, we hardly knew ye. So even though Harwin was in every episode, he was in the first episode, but in that episode, I don't think a lot of listeners were like, oh, that's Harwin, that guy's son. And, you know, anyway, I'm going to give it, admittedly, I'm going to give it 7 double D's out of 10.
Oh, wait, did you say 7?
Yes.
7 double D's. Double D's?
Well, of course, that's when you do a self-Dracarys death. That's when you've had so much and you're just like, Dracarys, death me. That was a shock. That was heartfelt. We don't really know this actress as Lena. We barely knew Lena as it was, but still to see anybody, Dracarys death themselves, that was pretty dramatic and strong. So 7 out of 10. I love some of the episodes.
Triple D. Dracarys death.
Oh, very much so. But because some of these characters, Lena's death, the shock of it is incredible, but it's how it happened, not because I have known Lena very well as a viewer or have a great connection with her. So right. 7 out of 10, things I like, things I had some issues with. We love to say, who cares what we think? We want to know what you think. Talk to us at WPHQ on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/WPHQ. That's the word double, the single letter P for podcast, HQ for headquarters, at WPHQ on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/WPHQ. If you're watching this on YouTube, you go down to those comments, like the video, leave us your thoughts. We're going to be reading a bunch of great feedback at the end of this episode and Catfish, as we do on all of the Joffrey podcasts. We start off with our hot D House of the Dragon match game, where we really get to talk to our listeners in all the best ways. So are you ready to jump in and talk about our first match game question?
Oh, hell yeah. You know I love the match games. So do our double L's.
Double L's?
Yeah, loyal listeners. They go crazy for this. So, Bubba, this first one, I'm going to read it out, and then you'll have your answer. We'll have my answer, and then we'll see if we can match any of our loyal listeners. We already know that if we match, that means we will be doing well, because our loyal listeners are doing much right, better than good. We are at these. All right, so Daemon's idea of foreplay is a dragon flight, while Prince Aegon's idea of foreplay is blank.
Listeners, we want you to think of your answers. Even if you can't get them to us the night of our podcast recording, we're going to read all your answers on a podcast either this week or next week to this question. So give it to me one more time, Catfish.
All right. Daemon's idea of foreplay is dragon fighting. Mm-hmm. Well, Aegon's idea of foreplay is blank.
Double W.
Double W.
Window washing. Yes, listeners, if you're brand new to the Joffrey of podcast, hopefully now you know what you got yourself into. We apologize. All right, Catfish, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Idea of foreplay is dragon fight, dragon flight, while Prince Aegon's idea of foreplay is...
hands on.
Oh. I wish I didn't have an image of that in my head right now, but listeners, what can we do? Those are our answers. We want you to see if you can match us. And even if you don't match us, know that you are going to be eligible to win some prizes at the end of this season of podcasting. Oh, Catfish, are you ready?
I'm ready. Why don't you read it, the first one, and I'll read the first response. I'm very exciting.
Okay. Daemon's idea of foreplay is dragonflight, while Prince Aegon's idea of foreplay is?
Double W, window wanking.
Oh, so close.
Yes. No, I'm going to get... you give that a little ring. That is the same thing. Window washing, window wanking. That is Dooley's left leg. It's a Dooley's left leg. So good.
All right. Well, hold on. If you count that... mm-hmm. I have lost the belt. Now, here it is. Okay, Dooley, you and I didn't see that answer. I'm so glad. Okay, all right. We're off to a roaring success here
on
episode 6. Okay, you read it. I'll read the next answer.
Okay, Daemon's idea of foreplay is a dragon fight, while Prince Aegon's idea of foreplay is...
straight out of Deliverance. Now, that is an old reference there that hopefully you don't get, listeners. Uh-huh. That's from our good friend at Revere Terry on Twitter. Very good. Not a match, but very good.
Nice, nice, nice. All right. Here, hit me with it, Bubba. Here we go.
No. This last, I just saw the answer. This is trouble already. All right. Daemon's idea of foreplay is dragon flight, while Prince Aegon's idea of foreplay is...
whacking the straw man. That is Tori Hunter at Mandotori. So good.
So many times I say, I wish I hadn't seen that. And it's for multiple reasons. Hey, so if you have an answer, please reach out to us and tell us. And also, listeners, I got to say this. You know, we mentioned talk to us at WPHQ on Twitter, because that's where we put out these Match Game questions each Sunday night during the episode of House of the Dragon. If you're on Twitter, I also need you to hit like on these tweets about the Match Game answers. So
okay.
Not only give us an answer, but on all these Match Game questions, hit us a like. And to get you to give us a like, we normally do 3 Match Games per podcast, but we're going to do 4 tonight.
What?
We're giving you a bonus Match Game if you go to Twitter, and if you're on Twitter and you give a like to all of our Match Game questions. We need them.
Oh, man, that is so exciting. All right, that's but though, private. Before we get to the candy,
yeah,
we got to have our main course, and that is the strongest scene of the episode.
And we don't mean by the strongs themselves, the strongest scene or the strongest scent after the way some of those strongs ended the episode. Catfish, do you have one that jumps out at you? I mentioned that the shocking Lena death was a shocking moment. But again, because I feel like I haven't had time as an audience member to connect with Lena as much, that's not going to be my answer. What is your answer for strongest episode scene?
People might accuse me of recency bias.
Okay.
But I just loved, loved, loved. We needed, there was people over here, people over there, challenging for the throne, not really challenging. We didn't get to see enough of them. For me, the MVP of the episode and the MVP scene of the episode is Larys at the end with Alicent. That is juicy. I mean, I'm watching it and I thought to myself, did I get things wrong?
What do you mean by that?
Well, because I was like, I'm like 90% sure that Larys is the son and brother of the people he just burnt. But that cannot be right, can it? I mean, it's just amazing. It is amazing. And he just like, you know who's going to be in charge of this family now? Me. Only the weakest of the strong survive. Oh
snap. That is tough. Other people lit the match, but he had his dad and his brother killed. And as far as we could tell, once again, this goes to the character work of the previous 5 episodes, he seemed to have a good relationship with him. At the wedding in last week's episode, admittedly, that was a decade ago, he was talking to his brother. He's like, oh, look, do you know what it means that she's wearing a green dress? You know, like, Larys seemed okay with his family.
Well, we didn't know last week because he did seem, when he was talking to the queen, we were a little confused. It didn't seem as if he was really pushing his father's agenda. And now we know for sure his father's agenda is not one of his concerns. So that was me, Bubba. And that was a great scene. I know you enjoyed it, but was that your strongest scene?
I thought there were several good ones. I have to be honest, even though they're new actors, and I feel like we do need to talk about that.
Yeah.
I thought the first scene after the birth of Prince Joffrey between the new actress playing Rhaenyra and the new actor playing Laenor, I thought that was really strong. I mean, this guy, his wife, you know, we're supposed to imagine this is Middle Age times. But this guy, his wife, his partner at the very least, his partner just gave birth. Just, you know, he was supporting her, saying you don't have to drag yourself, you know, up these stairs and all this stuff. But then seemingly the next day he's like, you know, my buddy Carl and I, we're going to peace out and go back to the Stepstones when life was great. I remember when I was a kid and I was fighting on the Stepstones. So I thought that scene was really, really good. I thought the scene where you saw kind of Kristen Cole really, really treating Harwin Strong's kids terrible in the training session, I thought that was rough. But to be honest, I think this episode is called The Princess and the Queen. And the scene that I thought was truly the strongest was the small council scene. having a small council scene where both women have a seat at the table, but the women are so icy to each other. Rhaenyra's attempt at resolving this, you know, I don't know what to think. What did you think of Rhaenyra's attempt where she's like, okay, I apologize for all the transgressions that might have happened. We can solve this union by my son marrying your daughter. Yeah, what do you think? I mean,
to me, it does seem reasonable. I mean, Alicent is saying to Aegon, your life is essentially forfeit. Mm-hmm. And Alice, what is being proposed to Alicent is going to make it so that there's no war, there's no fight of the succession, everything will end up okay. And it does seem to me the safest path.
Well,
unless she doesn't trust Rhaenyra.
Okay, well, Rhaenyra, I want to say this, though. So Rhaenyra is saying her son Jace will marry Alicent's daughter, and her name is Helena, I believe. Forgive me if I get these wrong. We're just meeting these characters, right? So my son, who will be the future king, will marry your daughter, who will be the future queen. Who's to say that son might think, oh, my uncle Aegon still might have a greater claim to the throne than I do? So who's to say Jace and Aegon aren't going to, you know, later come to blows?
It seems a safer proposition to me.
Yes, that's
for sure.
I agree.
It almost seems as if I'm not quite sure whether I believe that Alicent is wise to deny it or feel she's in a strong enough position to deny it. I have a little bit of a hard time feeling at the end, though, that Rhaenyra has to peace out of town as well. That one I had a little bit of a hard time with.
Let's debate on this just because you mentioned it, because I didn't necessarily think of this when watching the episode. But if Rhaenyra thought that, you know, my dad is kind of being kept in line by his hand and his hand wants to peace out, his hand is going to take part of my muscle, Harwin. We don't really know how strong their relationship was with each other, Rhaenyra and Harwin. But at the very least, he's like a big, strong guy, literally a strong guy who's on her side. And now he's taken off. You know, this is like gathering chess pieces. How many pieces do I have in a war? And if she thinks, you know, I just lost a couple of my chess pieces, maybe I need to run away from the storm, as she says. So that's why in hindsight, I think she's peaced out of town.
All right, that makes sense to me. To go to kind of back to the first scene, what doesn't make sense to me is I know I talked about earlier they had to do kind of some hand waving here to be like, yes, we're kind of in the status quo here 10 years later.
Right.
One thing we talked about last week that gets completely ignored here, unless I missed it, even a look between Laenor and Kristen. I mean, we thought
good point.
Anticipated that Kristen would go and become the King's Guard for the Queen.
Right.
But there would be really hard feelings, and I did not even sense that at any time seeing Laenor and Kristen together. So
no, that
instead
is
of hand waving, they decided, let's just pretend it didn't happen, kind of.
No, that's a great point. Laenor still must have feelings for Joffrey. He's naming his kid after Joffrey.
Yeah.
Yet the brief times we did see Laenor and Kristen Cole in the same scene, there wasn't the rage that you would have thought would have been there. Now, it has a decade later, but that's a good point. There are a couple of other things into the small council scene that I said was my favorite that I liked. I like that they're trying, you know, they're recasting actors. They're trying to make everybody look like it's 10 years later. And I don't know if Lord Beesbury, they did any makeup on, but him losing track of what was going on and being like, yes, this problem in the Riverlands. We've moved on, Grandpa. I liked that. I like that Viserys, as he just looks worse and worse and worse. To me, he looks like the guy in Indiana Jones and Last Crusade who chose poorly. I mean, he's looking rough. But I like that he's still himself. He's still trying to be the, let's not have any arguments or any resolution to any of this conflict, right?
Hey. Right. Let's pretend that none of these obvious things that are happening have happened or are continuing to happen.
I mean, holy smokes, holy smokes. And smokes really got the strongs at the end. Any other scenes you want to touch on? I know we'll touch on some of these points when we do our character review, but anything else really jump out at you from these great scenes in this episode?
Again, we've talked about this. I really thought Damon was going to be the man in this show, and it feels like, and I don't mean that in any patriarchal way, I just mean this would the delicious schemer that we wanted. And it feels as if, even though a lot of things have happened to him, that he's really kind of has been in mud ever since the premiere episode.
Well, let me ask you a question, and I know we could talk about this in our character conflict. Last week, on the very last episode, we saw Damon cold-bloodedly murder his wife.
Right.
He was cold-blooded, and he murdered his wife. In this episode, he's given the same choice that Viserys was given back in episode one.
Exactly.
You want us to try to save the baby? Well, it would definitely mean your wife is not going to make it. And he chose his wife's life. Is that choice what we would think, you know, what we would assume the better choice mean Damon's a better person? Or is he inconsistently written? Or do you feel like the show has explained to you how in one moment he could cold-bloodedly kill his wife, and in another moment, he could be like, whatevs. What do you think about the character, Damon?
I'm just really confused about him right now. I did recognize that it was almost word for word the same choice he was given.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't seem to particularly be extra fond of his wife. However, since he hadn't killed her and seemed to actually have been intimate with her, I guess for him that's growth.
Right. I think so too.
It's
how about
the
this?
Little things, not killing your wife.
How about this? And again, we would normally do this in our character look, but why do you think Damon doesn't want to go back to Westeros and wants to hang out in Pentos?
Even though he kind of wants the throne, it feels like he is still doesn't want to be a usurper. And so it feels like instead of introducing him late when he's actually going to do something, I imagine when Alicent's son takes charge, then he's going to be like, okay, no. Instead of introducing him late and have him do something, they're really just, like I said, I feel like they're keeping him in mud.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, I've been in mud before, so I get that feeling.
All right.
Hey, we're going to talk about these characters even more in a bit, but you know what time it is, Catfish. Audience participation for our double L's. You ready for match game two?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So at the start of the episode, Lionel Strong was Hand of the King, while at the end of the episode, he and his son, Sir Harwin Breakbone Strong, were blank. At the start of the episode, Lionel Strong was Hand of the King, while at the end of the episode, he and his son Harwin were
finger licking good. You see what I did there, Bubba? Hand of the King, and then they were extra crispy.
Terrible.
That's my favorite answer.
Does that make Laris the Colonel?
Hey, it's Laris, the Colonel here.
Heck yeah. All right, Bubba, Now it's coming to you. All right, at the start of the episode, Lionel Strong was Hand of the King, while at the end of the episode, he and his son, Sir Harwin Strong, were blank.
On Family Feud.
All right, I like that.
All right. From your response, I could do better, but that's fine. All right. So, hey, let's see how our listeners did, and we'll go out. Start of the episode, Lionel Strong was Hand of the King. At the end of the episode, he and Harwin were
ashen-faced with a strong smell of BBQ pig wings.
Oh, they were ashen-faced.
That's very descriptive. Hard to match one that specific.
I know,
but Dooley's left legs.
All right, you ready? I'll read another one. You read the answer. Okay. Lionel and son Harwin at the end of the episode were?
Well done.
Oh, that's not extra crispy, but very close. I'm giving it a little bell ringing there. All right, you let me read some. All right, here we go.
All right. At the start of the episode, Lionel Strong was handed the king, while at the end of the episode, he and his son, Sir Harwin Strong, were?
Well, not break bones, but instead charred bones. That is from at A Godless Key, a.k.a. Albert Godlesky on Twitter. Very good. Read another one. Oh, my God.
You know what?
I think the listeners are matching themselves. These are pretty good. Read it to me.
At the start of the episode, Lionel Strong was handed the king, while at the end of the episode, he and his son, Sir Harwin Strong, were?
Buffalo wings. Instead of hand of the king, they were buffalo wings. Bramlett at TCB POV. Very good. And one last one that we have now. Once again, listeners, send them to us throughout the week. At the start of the episode, Lionel was handed the king, while at the end of the episode, he and his son, Sir Harwin Strong, were?
A strong smell of barbecue.
Oh, man, these are all so close.
No, but that is almost a match between Dooley's left legs and Revere Terry. Bubba, for the first time ever, I'm going to say my favorite answer is my answer. Finger licking good.
Yours was good. I made a mistake of seeing that before I came up with my answer, and I was like, okay, I can't match it. I'll just say Family Feud. All right, now it's time for our character rundown, and we're going to let's run through a bunch because we got a lot of new characters, and let's start with them first. Theoretically, the firstborn son of the king who will be passed over for the throne, and if he had his way, may not mind that so much. What were your thoughts of our new Prince Aegon?
Oh, our new Prince Aegon. He is, he's a lot.
Yeah. He might be terrible, to be honest. He might be the worst.
Because you believe every sperm is sacred?
No, I think that has nothing to do with it. That has nothing. I mean, it might have a bit to do with it. Like, he's obviously doing that because he's like, look at me, I'm king of the world, right? You know, he said it's not the front of the Titanic, it's the front of the castle. But no, there was a lot of things. Don't you think when you talk about, what was it, the pink dread? Don't you think that was really his idea, and he's trying to blame it off on his younger, I guess they're his younger nephews? I mean, that was terrible. The fact that he was so lackadaisical in saying, you know, whatevs. Yeah, okay, I don't have to rule. Sure, okay. Why? I didn't got a beef with my older sister, Rhaenyra. I thought he was terrible.
You know what? He did not seem that bad. When you stack him next to Larys, he's just a slacker, that's all. Of course he's not going to say that it was his idea.
Is that the scale? It's like, are we going to put every character next to Larys? Oh, compared to Larys, not so bad.
You said he was horrible. I just thought that he was a slacker and not actively horrible. I mean, I thought that his younger brother trying to steal one of his nephew's dragons, he seemed like he could be more trouble. Aegon's just living life. He's just living his life.
Would you want that kid, admittedly, he's young, he can grow. Would you want him to rule anything? I want it. People can grow. He's supposed to be, is he supposed to be 14 or 15? This is 10 years since the wedding. It's so hard to keep track. And a part of me thinks he would be 14, but I don't know. I mean, I was not a fan of his.
I agree. I think there is, in putting someone on the Larys scale is very strong, but also putting someone on the king scale is also strong. Of course, he's supposed to be the king. He's just a slacker kid. That's all. Except for the window stuff. That was a little extreme. I didn't think he was horrible. I just thought he was non-entity is too strong. He is not trying to wield any power. I think from a young age, our lord and master, Joffrey Baratheon, had a sense of his privilege and the rightness of him being in charge of the world. And this kid doesn't. So I didn't think he was horrible. He's not fit to lead, but he doesn't seem like he's really a troublemaker. So he's not really horrible.
Did you want to have any thoughts about either his younger brother, Aemon, who was given the pink dread, or the sister, Helena, who seemed to like collecting bugs? And kind of pulled away a bit from her mother's touch when her mother was trying to put her hand on her and be like, hey, hey, girl, it's okay. And she kind of pulled away a bit. Anything on Aegon's two younger siblings?
Yeah, I think Aemon is more troublesome because he's the one who's been bullied. I really feel
okay, I see it.
He could Larys Aegon, sure.
Yeah, and I actually wouldn't mind that, you know. Fine. Actually, I'm not sure I mind Larys. You know, I don't what's a good idea to Arwen that well and the Lionel that well. Okay, sure. Anything about, and once again, we barely got these new characters. Anything about Jace, the theoretically the third in line to the throne? If the king, like, no, he'd be second in line because there's the king. The next heir is Jace's mother, Rhaenyra, and then he's, you know, next in line. So is that second in line? Whatever. Any thoughts about Jace? He at least picked up on the idea of like, hey, is that dude my dad?
Yeah, funnily enough, and maybe we'll get to see more of them.
Mm-hmm.
I got a stronger sense of who Aegon and Aemon were rather mm-hmm. than who Rhaenyra's children were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, for me, what I was most focused on this episode, even though they're not characters, but they kind of are. Can we talk about how the new Alicent and how the new Rhaenyra differ? Of course, they've grown, even if they were, you know, they were maybe going to have the actresses stay the same and age mm-hmm. them up. They still would have gone through 10 years of stuff, but still let's talk about who they are now 10 years on.
Well, which one do you want to jump on first? Rhaenyra, the princess, or the queen, Alicent?
Rhaenyra, I think.
Okay.
I don't like this character as much as I liked sort of the younger Rhaenyra. There was sort of a slyness to her, and she had a real presence mm-hmm. that I feel like I'm not feeling right now with the character. So, again, maybe I'll grow into it, but I just really thought there was a centered calmness to her before. And again, you know, 10 years on with her situation changing a little bit differently, maybe it would have been performed differently.
Well, young Rhaenyra, the one in the previous episodes, you know, she was rambunctious. She started back in episode one saying, I just want to get on my dragon, fly around the world, see the sights and eat cake. And she was still mischievous. Mm-hmm. You know, even last week, and she went through so much last week, she was still flirty with Kristen Cole, and she was very understanding of, you know, hey, of her new husband-to-be, Laenor. And it's like having these three kids has taken that rambunctiousness, almost that energy out of her, and it's like she's tired. Maybe that's really why she went away to Dragonstone, and she's like, oh, man, this is just dragging me. Because she's not as fun as she was younger, that's for sure.
For so long, we had seen her say, this is not what I want to be. I don't want to be a broodmare. And then we see her giving birth to what I thought was her first child, which is why I was so excited when he was named Joffrey, because I thought, Joffrey, he's the next in line. And when I found out that he's now third, I was like, well, what the heck? Joffrey should have been the first named child. Hello.
I don't think Laenor has much say in a lot of things there. And it doesn't seem like he wants to, so I don't want to.
In any case, this is another situation where, again, they had to do it, that people were essentially, we moved forward 10 years and everyone's stuck in kind of the same power position until this episode starts. So,
well, listeners, I want to know what you think of the new Rhaenyra. Tweet at us. YouTube, give us those comments. Remember, tweets at @PHQ, facebook.com/PHQ. Catfish, I want to talk about Alicent. When you were mentioning the two new actresses taking over these roles, to me, Alicent is the one who changed the most. And admittedly, we saw a bit of her changing. Kind of the big moment of her changing was last week when she wore the green dress and she saw my friend, my BFF, who I was defending, their lies got my dad sacked and all this stuff. I thought Alicent, to me, was the most different in this episode in that she really is scheming in a way I didn't see, where obviously the young one didn't until episode 5. The young Alicent didn't. I almost want to say that it's almost maybe the show putting, for me at least, putting its thumb on the scale of, are you going to support Rhaenyra and her children's claim, or are you going to support Alicent and her children's claim? to me, it felt like because Alicent was scheming, it felt like it was making Rhaenyra, quote unquote, the better option of the two. In fact, I would say that it's making Alicent too confrontational. Alicent is really aiming for a war. Rhaenyra, say what you want about her, and if her offer was good or valid or anything, but Rhaenyra did offer something of like, hey, let's have these kids marry. Now, admittedly, those kids marrying, if her one of her kids married one of Alicent's kids, that would be a nephew marrying an aunt. This show does that so much. So, but anyway, I just thought it was weird to see Alicent in auto mode. So I thought that was an odd change. I think both actresses are good. I think the new Alicent actress is great. I just thought she is really scheming, and that makes me as an audience member think, okay, scheming kind of implies some duplicity and evilness. And so I thought, oh, are they trying to make Alicent especially evil? What do you think?
I sort of disagree with you, and we can kind of hold some of it until later. Okay. There was a little bit of scheming here, but remember, she's the one who she and her children are the ones who are in a vulnerable position.
That's completely
officially.
True.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is she only does a tiny little bit of scheming, and it's up to us at the end to decide how much she put Larys into. So I'm going to say that for the most part, I feel that she also has not moved forward that much in the last 10 years.
Okay. Can I point out how the episode began? She's trying to get this baby taken to her immediately after it's born, like seconds after it's born.
Well, again,
that's not
that
cool.
Would mean something to me if it was the firstborn. It's not even the firstborn. That's why I was kind of confused, because has she done this every time? I just thought that Rhaenyra was worried that the child was in danger because that was her heir. But it turns out it's not even her heir. So, she's throwing her weight around a little bit, but that's not really scheming, unless killing that kid's not going to do anything because he's just the second spare.
Way to diss Joffrey, catfish.
Well, you have to say, hey, you got to have an heir and a spare. That's the second spare.
Second spare. Listen, there are four tires you got to do. Listeners, let us know what you think. Oh, wait, you know what? Before we leave characters, I want to go. Any thought on how Kristen Cole has become? Because he has completely flipped sides. If there are two sides, let's be honest. There's the Rhaenyra now and Alicent side. And Kristen, you know what? He is really, really Team Alicent. And his kind of attacking Rhaenyra and calling her the C word is tough.
I didn't expect to hear the C word twice tonight, but once it was funny and the other time it was not.
All right. So once again, listeners, there are a million characters on the show. And we lost three this week as well, at least by my count. So talk to us. Let us know what you think of the new actors, of these new scenarios, of the plot thickening, and the princess and the queen. Catfish, we've talked a lot of serious debate real quick. Do you want to go to our next match game of the episode? Our third of four. Remember, we're giving you that bonus match game.
Bonus.
If you like the tweets. You ready, Catfish?
All right. I love it. There were two pink dreads in the episode. One was a pig. The other was... If they hear our answer, they'll be like, oh, no, I can't do better.
anybody could do better by that. All right, give it to me one more time.
All right, there were two pink dreads in the episode. One was a pig. The other was?
Seen in Prince Aegon's window. Might have been a white pig, but anyway, or white dread. Sorry. Man. White dread. Sorry. Okay, there were two pink dreads in the episode. One was a pig. The other was?
Newborn Joffrey.
What?
Yes, because he's a white, but he's got the blood, so he's pink, and you know everyone is afeard of Joffrey.
Oh my goodness.
He gracious. Joffrey is the prince that was pre-promised post-haste.
Okay, those are our answers. Catfish, you ready? We have, let's see, from my count, we already have five answers from our listeners.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
Two pink dreads in the episode. One was a pig. The other was?
the one-eyed monster staring from out of a window over the people of King's Landing. Yes, yes.
I got a match with Dooley's left legs. Heck yeah.
Good job. Good job. All right. Let's try again. See if you get another one, Bubba. There were two pink dreads in the episode. One was a pig. The other was a wig. It rhymes.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
That's Corey Bramblett at TCBPOV. No match for you, Bubba.
Okay, okay. That's fine. That's fine. All right. There were two pink dreads in this episode. One was a pig. The other was Prince Aegon.
Oh, Bubba.
Yeah.
Ring the bell.
Oh, thank man. You, a godless key on Twitter. Two matches for that. All right, you ready?
All right, there were two pink dreads in the episode. One was a pig. The other was sore nipples.
Oh, poor Rhaenyra. Oh, when that happens in a business meeting, awkward.
Horrible. Thank you, at Mandatory Tory Hunter.
All right, oh, hey, Tory Honey. Love her, Tory Hunter.
All right, I'm going to read it. You give the answer. There were two pink dreads in the episode. One was a pig. The other was...
Lainor, obviously. Ooh, what do you think he's getting at?
Exactly know what he's getting at.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's at Revere Terry on Twitter. Oh,
holy
man.
Cow.
Holy cow is right. Who, catfish? Okay, so.
All rise. Enter the small council for the latest debate. The first question. Would you rather die by regular fire or dragon fire? Counselors, debate.
Catfish, this question that the judge has given us is obviously based. The regular fire is what happened to Lionel Strong and his son Harwin. Mm-hmm. And the dragon fire was what happened to Lena. Which is a better death, regular fire, dragon fire? What do you think?
Well, Counselor Bubba.
Okay.
Honored judge.
Yes.
Clearly, it's better to die by dragon fire. Mm-hmm. Number one, Your Honor, I'm just going to say it is quick, Your Honor. You are put out of your misery super quick. Besides, how many people get burned by dragon fire? It's quite an honor, Your Honor. As you, it's an honor to present a case in front of you, Your Honor. There's a lot of honor going out tonight. It's an honor to die dragon fire. Regular fire, boring, panic. Nobody cares. Dragon fire, well, that sets the tongues a-wagging, Your Honor. And Counselor Bubba, your turn.
Counselor Bubba, begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. Dragon fire is quick, but if you said painless, you got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding me, Your Honor. His argument was quick, okay, painless, not at all. Now, regular fire, let's go a bit deeper. Most people who die by regular fire, what really kills them? It's the smoke. It's the lack of oxygen to the brain. So two benefits of regular fire. Number one, if you die by lack of oxygen to the brain from the smoke and the carbon monoxide, you get a bit high. You get a bit high. You get a bit dizzy because you're getting less oxygen into your brain. And so you kind of get like a trip when you're dying. That's number one. Number two, and you cannot debate this, Counselor Catfish, that if you die by regular fire and smoke inhalation, you can still have an open casket.
Your Honor,
dragon fire.
You don't even need an open casket. They'll use you.
There's no such thing as an open casket.
There's no such thing as an open casket, Your Honor. When you get burned, it's grotesque. They end up using you at the maesters to show maesters students, Your Honor. No. Quick, it's so quick that it is painless, Your Honor. You barely feel it for only a microsecond. There's no minutes of panic and worrying and trying to get out.
Please, microsecond. Give me a... Your Honor.
Your nerves get fried, Your Honor.
Your Honor, would you prefer an open casket or would you prefer your remains to be in an open dustpan?
Free incineration, Your Honor. Free incineration.
I cannot decide. I say, listeners, you get to choose by telling us at WPHQ on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.com/WPHQ, or on YouTube, go down to the comments. The next case. Do all the best things in the Game of Thrones universe happen in castle windows? Counselor Catfish, your opening remarks.
Your Honor, without Bran being tossed out that castle window in Game of Thrones, he would not have been able to somehow achieve being the king of the Seven Kingdoms in an outcome which can be clearly described as nearly unbelievable, Your Honor. But you could call that Bran's first step to becoming king, Your Honor. So that, and also what Aegon was sharing with the rest of King's Landing out that window, sharing of himself, Your Honor, he's selfless. I can't think of a better location for good things to happen in the Game of Thrones world than in a castle window, Your Honor. I rest.
You should stay rested, your catfish, whoever you are. I think because the best thing that happens in the Game of Thrones universe is what?
Weddings?
No, not weddings. It's peace. Peace is the best thing that happens on the Game of Thrones universe. And so how do we get peace? By killing people. So far, nobody has been killed in a window. Bran was pushed out of a window. This window scene was not that great. Cersei looking out a window, someone did get killed out a window. Traitor Tommen went out a window. Okay, Your Honor, I throw in the towel. Catfish, I suppose, could have this one.
All right. Your Honor, I would accept weddings as the best things happen at weddings. But castle windows.
A third and final case. Did Queen Alicent really not know what she was doing when she said to Larys, "Will no one stand with me?" Bubba, you're up first. Thank you, Your Honor, and I'm glad we finally got to a serious one. Catfish, sometimes when I let him write all the questions, there's never like any serious debate in any of these questions. It's supposed to be like two serious questions and then one silly one to end it. Instead, we're getting the silly one here at the end. And Alicent, the way she protested to Larys at the end of the episode, she was acting as if she didn't intend for him when she's like, "No one will stand with me. The Hand of the King won't even come out and admit what his son did. His son's, you know, treasonous acts, if you will." And Alicent is frustrated, and she is dissing some cold card disses when she tells her husband, Viserys, "I'm not going to let my daughter marry a plain-featured son of Rhaenyra." Oh, snap. So Alicent is cold. She's cunning. She is planning. She's pushing that lazy bum Aegon to get his head in the game. But obviously, she would not suspect Larys to do kinslaying. And if we remember the first show, kinslaying is completely evil. In the books, when Robb Stark beheads Rickard Karstark, you know, this is a distant kin because of what he did in the show and the books. It's like a sign that Robb is cursed and he's going to be doomed. This isn't killing like a distant relative, like a Karstark is to a Stark. He killed his own dad and his own brother. Certainly Alicent would not, somebody who, say what you will about her, but I do believe she's strong in the Faith of the Seven, even if you think the Faith of the Seven is pointless. It does seem like she's strong in it. So no, Your Honor, I argue as strongly as I can that she didn't know what Larys was doing with those people he got out of the dungeons when he said no one, when she told him, "Will no one stand with me?" I think Alicent is innocent of the implication, Your Honor.
Your Honor?
Catfish, begin.
Yeah. Your Honor, I'm going to go even further here. This is scandalous because Counselor Bubba wants to have it both ways.
Your Honor.
He wants to say that Alicent did not know what she was doing when she said to Larys that no one will stand with her. But in the same breath, Your Honor, because Counselor Bubba tends to go on and on and doesn't breathe in between. It's not good.
You mean when I state facts in the show that I actually paid attention to, Counselor Catfish? Yes. I'd love you to go on and occasionally get some things right when you do.
Well, that's just slander, Your Honor, and I'll be bringing him up on charges.
Sure.
But at the same time, he tries to say that Alicent has been making very devious moves. And I will say, for the most part, Your Honor, up until this point, she has been making defensive moves. Even when she talks to Laris, it's a defensive move. Now, I will agree that I think that eventually she'll come to terms with this and she'll make more offensive moves. But, Your Honor, I still think she's in a position where she's just sort of trying to protect herself rather than actively make moves to forward her son as the next heir. So I don't think she's made that move yet, Your Honor. She hasn't gone from defensive to truly offensive.
Your Honor, is asking that kid to see it as soon as it's born, is that defensive or offensive? Your Honor, when she said, "Do keep trying, Sir Laenor. Sooner or later, you may get one that looks like you." That's not defensive.
That's harmless, Your Honor. Those are both harmless things. Harmless. Those are words.
Yes, the catfish did get that correct, Your Honor. Those were words. I will
thank
not
you, Your Honor. He said catfish is correct. You heard him.
Talia, not now.
Listeners, I'm not sure which side these two were on any of these arguments, but please write to WPHQ on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.com/WPHQ. Down in the YouTube comments, let us know what you think. Your Honor, that is very cold. Shut up, Counselor Bubba. Your Honor, we were friends. We were friends! Like Alicent and Rhaenyra were friends. Touché. Ouch, that hurts. Hey, catfish.
I just wondered how long it was going to go on.
I should have taken a breath. That's a good point. Let's get to some feedback, and I love this feedback. We're also going to be reading some answers to last week's match games that we got over the last week, and we're going to be doing our bonus match game if you keep hitting those likes on the actual tweets. You ready for the feedback, Catfish?
I'm ready, Bubba.
I love this feedback we got on YouTube. It's from somebody who's Infernal460 on YouTube, and their feedback, their comment they put on last week's video is, yes. That's all they wrote. Infernal460 wrote yes. Now, you may be wondering
in the affirmative.
Why they wrote yes is on these YouTube thumbnails. You know, I'm trying to do something to make somebody click and watch the video. So a lot of times I come up with questions that I put on the YouTube thumbnail, even if we don't necessarily discuss them. I'm like, well, if I put this on the YouTube thumbnail, somebody will click and watch, and maybe they'll get intrigued by what we say. So on last week's, I was rushing to get the YouTube video up, and I just put, as the question I put on the thumbnail, it's like, the Joffrey Podcast reviews season 1, episode 5, and I put, should Kristen Cole be gelded? That was the question, and Infernal460 just responded, yes. Oh, okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You know, to get people to click, you must talk about gelding.
Love it. What else feedback did we get on YouTube this week, Kevin?
All right. Very prescient, Bubba, because
Ooh, let's hear it.
LovePrue1, LuvPrue1, said Kristen Cole is giving off incel vibes.
Ooh.
I can't stand him. He is such a simp. Bubba. Whoa. I didn't really get that last week, but boy, did I get it this week. So congratulations to Love Proof for sensing Kristen Cole's forward momentum.
Yeah, I agree with you, Catfish, and I even responded to this comment on YouTube. I didn't see it last week, him being an incel and him being, you know, just so bitter and so destroyed. I want to give a shout out to somebody on Twitter who wrote this comment, and I forgot who it was. I apologize. But they said last week about Kristen Cole is they're like, he did something that he's very ashamed of. And the only way that he could kind of make himself feel good about what he did was like, well, I did it for love. I did it for love so we can run away. I'll run away with Rhaenyra. And so even though I soiled my white cloak, the only thing I have to my name, I did it for a righteous reason like love. And real quickly, he found out, no, it wasn't a righteous reason. You did it for a booty call, and you didn't even realize it was a booty call. And so it's like his internal hatred for what he did, he is pushing on Rhaenyra and now on the world. And so, yeah, Kristen Cole, he's got to get himself back on the right. He's got to get his head straight. But, boy, in this show, very few people get their head straight. They get their head straight on a pike, if you know what I mean.
I love it.
You want to read some of this more feedback we got, Catfish, on Twitter.
Camille at Harley Camille says, I've read the book
Fire and Blood, yeah.
Which was slow due to it reading like a history book without a lot of character dialogue and also like big motives for yeah. things that happened. Yeah. I agree that it's hard to understand what the characters' motives are in the show as well. I'm enjoying the show, but not as much as Game of Thrones.
Ooh. We're only 6 episodes in, Catfish. What do do you enjoy House of the Dragon as much as you enjoyed Game of Thrones? And if you can remember the first 6 episodes of Game of Thrones, the 6th episode did admittedly end with Viserys, Daenerys' older brother Viserys, getting his crown of gold. So that was the end of the 6th episode of Game of Thrones. So can you tell if you're enjoying one more than the other, or what do you think?
It's hard because I knew that story. So to see the story so well played out
mm-hmm.
and everything I thought plotted so well and the character yes. motivation set up so well and taking us to all these different places, I'm just not enjoying this as much, for sure.
Ooh. Yeah, I want to say that I also enjoyed the show Game of Thrones more than I do House of the Dragon at this point. Like Catfish, I had read the novel, A Game of Thrones, before Game of Thrones came out, so I was seeing what I already knew. But I'd also say the format of Game of Thrones, that first season, was formatted very closely to the book, and the book was very closely formatted based on George R. R. Martin's, you know, kind of history of writing television shows. He was writing the TV show, the remake of The Twilight Zone in the 80s. He wrote that show, Beauty and the Beast, and he knew in his head, you know, oh, I've always got to have hooks when we go to commercial break to make the viewer come back. And so we put that, oh, I've got to have hooks at the end of a chapter so the reader will want to continue to find out what happens next. And because that kind of, you know, forward momentum and hook to keep you watching wasn't built into the book Fire and Blood, the writers of this show are just finding kind of interesting moments to end, and I think they're good. But for me, who was somebody who was raised on soap operas, I'm not hooked quite as much. So even though A House of the Dragon is very good, I'm also just not quite as enjoying it as much of Game of Thrones. But hey, who cares what we think? Listeners, what do you think? Is it fair to judge after 6 episodes the 2 shows? Let us know.
I love it. All right, here's some more feedback we got from Patrick Spinagle at Patman23. He says, as always, you guys are the first to publish and are the first I listen to.
Oh, thank you.
You know what? That has always been our motto. Since we can't be best, we're always going to try to be first.
Right.
I respect that you and Catfish were in sync with the 8 of 10 mutual ratings. Great episode of TV and a great podcast covering it. Yes.
Mm. Our good buddy Albert Godleski on Twitter, who's at a Godleski. We've read some of his Match Game answers tonight. He wrote, man, this episode, and he's talking about episode 5 of House of the Dragon, has got me like, I don't know, all the emotions. I smiled, I felt sad, got pissed, I cringed. I'm so glad there's a week between the episodes because I need time to process. And he gives a shout out to the History of Westeros podcast, our buddy Double M's Before the Dragon podcast, our buddy Axel's podcast Winterfell, and us at the Joffrey of Podcasts for helping him out. Thank you, Albert, for listing us among those great podcasts. And please do keep listening.
Oh, man. And then, Bubba, this is some great feedback we got
yep.
from Satan Claus at Klaus yep. Sons.
Mm-hmm.
He sent us a picture, a screenshot of a survey he took from the New York Times on what podcast he listened to. And yeah. he listened to 538 Politics, Fresh
okay.
Air,
okay.
Radio Lab,
okay.
Slate Political Gab Fest.
Sure.
Slow Burns, The American Life. And then in our other, he put The Joffrey of Podcasts. Thank you so much, Klaus Sons. It's happening, Bubba. It's happening.
We are officially the podcast of record.
Yes.
Thank you so much, at Klaus Sons.
Heck yeah, for putting our word in. You know that the New York Times, they're finally going to get their shiznit straight.
All right. So, again, on Twitter, if you play the match game with us on Twitter, please like our match game questions. We need as many likes on these match game questions as possible. And to encourage you to do that, we've created a 4th match game for this week. This is unprecedented, Catfish.
It is, and only because we both had jokes about Laris. And Bubba, you were kind enough to let me shoehorn mine in. All here right. we go. Loving Laris is so loving.
How loving is he?
At Christmas time, he gets all his family members blank.
Oh, man. Wait till you see how many answers we have on Twitter for this bonus one, Catfish.
Oh, man. All right. Here we go, Bubba.
Sure.
Loving Laris is so loving.
How loving is he?
At Christmas time, he gets all his family members
roasting on an open fire.
Yes, that is awesome, Bubba. I love the singing answers. All right, Bubba, here we go.
At Christmas time, loving Laris gets all his family members
aloe.
Aloe, because they're so burned. Oh.
Yes, aloe.
Okay, that deserves a golf clap. That's pretty good. I don't think anybody will match that, but that is pretty good.
All right, well, let's see if anybody matches you. You're much better at matching the audience members than I am. Here we go. Loving Laris is so loving.
How loving is he?
At Christmas time, he gets all his family members.
Tongues. He got a bunch of tongues this episode. That is a smart episode. That is a smart answer. Didn't match. But that is brilliant from at Revere Terry. Oh, so good. So good. That's pretty good. All right. I'll read one and you give us the next answer. So,
all right. Here we go.
At Christmas time, Laris gets all his family members.
A double H.
Double H?
Yeah. Hot Heron Hall.
Oh, he does. Well, yes. Christmas came early this year. All right. Here. I'll
read it. Thank you, Jeff, at Jeff Perro.
Oh,
there's lots of peas in that. Thank you so much.
All right, I'm going to read this, and you read the answer again. You ready?
Okay, yep.
At Christmas time, Laris gets all his family members
dismembered.
Who's that from? That's pretty good.
That is from Corey Bramblett at TCBPOV.
Okay. I saw the next answer, so you read the question. I want to read this one.
All right, here we go.
This is good. This is good.
Loving Laris is so loving. At Christmas time, he gets all his family members.
5 golden rings of fire.
Oh, I like that. Just bringing everything in together.
That's pretty good. That's at Hunt Pants, our friend Holly on Twitter. So good.
All right. Oh, Bubba, I saw this next one. Read it. I love this answer. This is so brilliant.
Loving Laris is so loving. At Christmas time, he gets all his family members
a Kindle.
Wait a minute. That
takes the cake. Kindle.
Who did that?
That is mandatory. Tori Hunter, thank you.
Oh, my gosh. That is good. That is good. Let's. There's nothing else to say, but that is damn good. All right. Loving Laris is so lovely. At Christmas time, he gets all his family members.
Lumps of coal. Flaming ones. Flaming lumps of coal.
I was going to say it's more like his family members give him that.
Yeah. Holy cow.
That's from Batman 23.
That's Batman 23. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead, okay. Bubba.
I want to read this one from Lisa, Batman. Mrs. Batman is Mr. Lisa, so I want to read her answer. So
all right, here we go. Loving Laris is so loving. At Christmas time, he gets all his family members
caskets. Oh my God, these are so good. That's Lisa, who's at LisaS9 on Twitter. Oh my God, I keep seeing more answers. They're all so good. I'll let you read one, but oh my God, these are all good. At Christmas time, Laris gets all his family members
a tongue twister game.
Okay, sure. Sure.
That is
okay.
At Nickt, N-I-C-T, Mon, Nicholas Tiemann.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love hearing from some of the people we haven't heard from in a while. All right, you read me one. I'll read
it. All right, here we go. Loving Laris is so loving. At Christmas time, he gets all his family members
a Yule log or two. We've heard from this man so many times already. That is at...
Godless Key Albert.
So good. Okay. And I think we got one more from our good buddy Double M. All right.
Let's do it. All right. Loving
at Christmas.
Laris. Okay, go ahead.
At Christmas time, Laris gets all his family members
a new personalized pecking order.
That is from at Double M Matt Murdock, who's at Musical Concepts, I should say, on Twitter.
Oh my God. Can I just say again?
Yeah.
A Kindle.
A Kindle. I mean, nobody matched that, but everybody should.
I love caskets too. Caskets. It's the perfect Christmas gift.
Okay. Hey, you know what? We got to burn through all last week's match games real quick too. So we're going to read I'll read the question. You read all the answers from last week. So you ready, Catfish?
You got it.
Sir Joffrey Lawnmouth was known as the Knight of Kisses. After the feast, he'll be known as
Sir Smushface.
Oh,
that's Bill at Bill Kava, KHVA. I love him.
So good. Okay. After the feast, Sir Joffrey Lawnmouth will be known as
the Good Knight of Feasts.
Oh, wait, no, that's like me. I said the Knight of Fistis. And so Terry at Revere Terry said he's not the Knight of Kisses. He's the Good Knight of Fistis. Okay, I think that's a match. Very good.
Love it.
Terry. All right. After the feast, Joffrey will be known as
the Knight of Destroyed Kissers.
Oh,
that is a good one.
That is a good one.
Get the Rapal right in the kisser. Didn't even think about that. That is clever.
Okay, that's from at Musical Concepts, Double M Matt Murdock. After the feast, Joffrey will be known as
the prequel to Oberyn Martell's eye socket death. Oh,
spoiler alert. All right, who's that from?
That is from our good friend Camille at Harley Camille.
Oh, man, I saw this last answer. This also was very, very good. Okay, the last one we got for this one. After the feast, Sir Joffrey will be known as
Lord Leaky Lawnmouth.
Leak mouth instead of lawn mouth. At Nicholas Fortuna. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Excellent job. All right, I'll read this question. You read the answers.
Perfect. Yeah, let's hear it.
Jason Lannister is so terrible. His wedding gift for Rhaenyra was
a forever empty dragon pen. That's pretty good. I also like, because wasn't he pitching that as a possible if they got married? That's from at Musical Concepts, Matt Murdock. All right, give me the next one.
All right, Jason Lannister is so terrible. His wedding gift for Rhaenyra was?
Double W? Wig wax. Oh. People don't like these wigs of the Targaryens. What can we say? That's from Corey Bramlett at TCB POV. Love it.
All right, here we go. Jason Lannister is so terrible. His wedding gift for Rhaenyra was?
Double M? Massive misogyny. No, that's very accurate. You know how we say sometimes it's funny or it's true? That is funny and true from at Likely Seth. Okay. Oh, my goodness. We got okay, two
more. One more.
No, we got
Jason
two
Lannister
more. This
is so
funny.
Terrible as wedding gift for Rhaenyra was?
An Amazon gift card. It's at Klaus Sons Satan Claus on Twitter. And we got one more, which was a visual answer. You ready for this?
Okay, all right. Jason Lannister so terrible. His wedding gift for Rhaenyra was?
The Lannisters send their regards. It's a picture of Roose Bolton stabbing Rob saying the Lannisters send their regards. Oh, how terrible.
Holy cow.
All right, our last thing from last week's match game. You ready? Rather than a gelding or torture, Queen Alicent will sentence Sir Criston Cole to
babysitting duty. That kid never stops crying. I think I get half a ring. That is at Kelly Underfoot. Yes.
At Kelly Underfoot, you'll sometimes hear her on Before the Dragon podcast. That matches you from last week, Catfish. You hated that giant baby.
Yeah, he's going to have to carry him around. Same carry, sit. I love it. All right, Queen Alicent will send Sir Criston Cole to
lagging of the stream because it's buffering constantly. HBO, get your act together. Now, this was brilliant. It's from Corey at TCB POV because, Catfish, you were having the same problem with last week's episode. Remember that?
I did have a little bit of problem, but it turned out it was my stupid I have apps on my TV. I just quit those. Those apps on the TV always end up busting real quick.
Okay, we got two more. Queen Alicent will sentence Criston Cole to
watch the movie Cats on an infinite loop or take the black. Ooh, that's a tough choice.
Yeah, that is tough. That's from at Clausen. In our final one, you ready? Queen Alicent will sentence Sir Criston Cole to
A trail ride with Damon.
After what Damon did on the last trail ride that his wife took. Not nice. Who's that from?
That's awesome. That's from Revere Terry.
Okay, so let me say, we're probably missing some of your brilliant match game answers. So not only send us your answers, but also please like the tweets so we can get another alert that you've said something and that you're following these match games that we love. We want to make sure you love them as well.
Holy cow, so good. Oh, our listeners are just brilliant.
To reach out to me individually on Twitter, my name's Bubba. You can find me at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And you can hit me up on Twitter at CJGman67, or you can hit me up on Instagram at GEETOTHEMEN, G to the man. Bubba, we've only got 4 episodes left.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Until the end of the first season.
Incredible.
That means there's time. We could do another 20-year time jump right to when Joffrey is king.
Oh, thank God. Please.
Perfect. Once we get that, this show will be perfect. Just like our show, you'll hear us next time on
the Joffrey Podcast.
Finger looking good.
That was good. That was good. The other one was, what was your other one that was so good too? The other one, was, I can't remember it.
I don't know.
Aloe. I think Aloe's pretty
good. Nothing was as good. A Kindle. I mean, come on.
Come on.
I'm telling mother.